4 minutes into the rally, MSNBC cut away to say that prices are up, except that prices are down. Eggs are down. Gas is down. Energy is down. Network news credibility is down. But the resistance media isn't just playing Chicken Little today. Since Donald Trump took office, newsbusters looked at 899 stories on NBC, ABC, and CBS, and 92% of them were negative. 92%. Even on immigration, where Trump is polling extremely well, the network spin was 93% negative. Hitting your thumb with a hammer has a negative rating of 89%. And during Joe Biden's first 100 days, the networks gave him 59% positive coverage. So again, common sense would ask, is the sky really falling? Or did you just fall for the media telling you the sky is falling?
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends. Welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in, for listening. And by that intro, you know what we're going to be talking about today and why? Because millions of people still take in what you and I are very aware of as the biased, extreme leftist, some people would say Marxist media in America. You can put up whatever descriptor you want in front of that. That's why we bring in one of the media guys, my friend John Leffler, an expert in this area, to talk about this. John, welcome back to the podcast. So good to see you, brother.
Yeah, I haven't been here since the middle of last year. Yeah, jeepers, we need to do this more often.
I know, we will. We will. I'm going to even promise our viewers, John will be back soon. So you heard the clip, and that basically kind of sums up a lot. I mean, I've got, I don't know, what is this, 8, 9, 10 pages here from the Media Research Center. We're going to talk about how off, I think most Americans, let's just rephrase that, most Christians or conservatives or informed citizens are aware that the media is a problem in America with propaganda. They're a problem. It's they always tilt left. They're very progressive. And yet millions of people still watch and think they're getting the news. Just your overall view on this issue before we dive into some of the numbers and some of the stories.
Well, it's true, and it's not surprising. I got a letter from a listener a former listener to my radio show in Toronto, Ontario. He said, was I surprised by the results of the Canadian elections? I said, no, because the Canadians listen to the CBC, and they assume they're getting true news, and they're not. The CBC is sort of like NPR here in this country or any of the other networks. And so while the Canadians are becoming aware of the fact that they're developing real serious problems in Canada, they keep voting for the same people who caused the problems in the first place, you know. But what you have to understand, David, is, and I'm old enough to remember this, I started into radio and TV in 1966 and have been in it for all that time. And
you are a veteran.
Starting about the, well, I am a veteran. I should be talking like this. Well, when I started in the news back in 18, what was it? Is about the late 70s. So my wife has her master's in mass communications. We met working for a TV network. And so we're on the same page on this. And we noticed that over the 70s, you know, we finished our work in the 70s, but about the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, you saw this change in the broadcast colleges and the journalism colleges, where they began to teach the people coming out that they were not to be reporters of news, that they were to be purveyors of social narrative to achieve social change. And that's how they were trained. And so you really began to see this in the 80s news. Now, they still kept the cloak over them as if, oh, well, we're here and we're just, you know, the professional reporters, yada, yada, yada. It wasn't until the late 1980s that suddenly conservatives discovered talk radio on AM. AM was a dying medium, they said, and Rush Limbaugh hit it, and then a bunch of regional networks like my own daily radio show out of Colorado, and we began to transform the political culture. And you saw the impact of this. And that's why we're different right now than Canada, than Europe, than the United Kingdom, and Australia, is because we have a vibrant new medium that has come up either on broadcast or the internet or internet newspapers that has challenged the mainline people. In 1990, my wife told me, I'd been off doing documentary work, and my wife looked at me and she says, you've got to get back on the air and tell people what's really happening. And that's where it started. So when Mr. Trump was elected the first time, I told my listeners that I know how these people think. Let me tell you what's going to happen here. The first stage will be the obituary. OK, and they'll go for 3 or 4 days of how could this have ever happened? We don't understand. The polls said that Hillary was supposed to, golly willikers. And they would talk to each other. Did you notice that? All talking to each other. Yep. It's an echo chamber. And I would sit out here watching on my, out of the studio TV going, hello, put me on. I'll tell you why. because you don't get it. Then I said stage number two. Stage number two was going to be the drumbeat. And what they would have to do is pick on things, anything that Mr. Trump did, that, and they would say it was negative, until they found something they thought they could make stick. And that was Russia collusion. That was the thing. So for 26 months, we heard the boom of Russia collusion. And they abandoned all pretext of professionalism at that time. All pretext. They would go from unnamed sources, because Harry's brother Joe, who heard it from his cousin down in the White House basement, heard that this and that. I'm going, I don't believe this, the things I was hearing. Yeah. The Washington Post during the days of Watergate, remember that one?
Yeah.
They would never have run with a story like that.
Yeah.
And so finally, when Mr. Trump was reelected, I said, all right, what you're going to expect is every single story will be negative, even one that's a success. Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, President Trump could create a pill, one pill that cures cancer of all types over a short period of treatment. And the media's headline would be President Trump deprives 5 million healthcare workers of jobs. That's what it would be. Okay. Because they work under a threefold. Remember, they're journalist activists. They're not newsmen anymore.
Yes.
They're not activists. Credible sources of news. The only people that believe them are their echo chambers. And the pattern they follow, if it follows their narratives, the narratives are geared to achieving social outcomes all the way from Gaza to Washington. If it follows that, pound it. If it sort of is there, twist it, and then pound it to report the things that support the narrative and ignore the things that don't. If it doesn't fit the narrative, this is stage three, ridicule it, ignore it, declaim it, attack it. And that's the pattern that we see. And it's been ongoing. And so when you say 95%, well, it doesn't surprise me, Dave. What planet are you living on, you know?
I mean, that's pretty bad, though, when you're talking about, well, let me just read this section of this report. And friends, this is, go to MRC.org, MRC.org, Media Research Center. We're going to their sister outlet, Newsbusters. And this is the story we're talking about, where TV news is literally assaulting the second Trump administration with 92% negative coverage. So it says just 100 days in, the second term, the broadcast evening news landscape is even more lopsided than it was 8 years ago when he had hostile news coverage. So the new Trump administration has faced 92% negative from, listen to this, ABC, CBS, and NBC, who now, we're not talking about the Communist News Network, CNN, and the Marxist media at MSNBC and the others. We're talking about the major outlets that most people might still listen to, John. That's why we're discussing this important issue today, because these programs average around 19 million viewers. And so these are wide news outlets. And my concern is not enough people are aware, not enough people can understand the bias. Maybe they think, they obviously they're Democrats, they don't like Trump, but they don't know how bad it is.
No, they really don't. And I talked to one of my close relatives. And by the way, you know what's interesting is with all of my relatives, most of them are progressives or liberals or whatever, we're all still talking to each other. All right. We didn't get into this. You voted for Trump. I can't talk to you anymore.
No Thanksgiving turkey for you.
Yeah. No Thanksgiving turkey for you and everything. And she asked me some questions one night. So I began to respond, you know, and so on. So, and I just go at it methodically with fact after this, fact after that. Ooh, and she says, like, well, you're always defending Trump. I said, I'm not always defending President Trump. I'm just trying to get you for the last 8 years to stop saying darn Trump as the solution to everything. And I keep telling her, your media are lying. She watches MSLSD. And I just said, they're lying to you. How much, what do I have to do to convince you that you're being lied to? All of the information you have is a distortion, even the truth that they're giving to you. And I'm frustrated because I'm a traditional journalist, and we were always driven by my motto is Semper Veritas, always the truth, no matter what. Republican, Democrat, yeah, always the truth, you know. And that's what traditional journalists were. But why are we here? I mean, I think that's the important thing. And it's because we're in a big time of paradigm shift. And when you go through a paradigm shift, you go through three stages, okay? And you have to recognize that in the West, the media left, the elitist left have held sway, not just here, but in Europe, Great Britain, Australia, they've held sway. And the pendulum now has gone as far as it can away from reality when all of these policies that they've introduced are failing and the pendulum is coming the other way and swinging the other way. And what they're desperately trying to do is to hang on to it. You know, this big, heavy pendulum, they're going, wait, you know, as it's dragging in the other direction, because reality is now striking home. Three stages in a paradigm shift. What is it? Number one, everybody thinks it's a glitch. That's what they thought with the Republican Revolution in 94, the Tea Party in 2008, and then the election of Mr. Trump in 2016. Hmm. It's a glitch. And if we just work hard enough, we can just turn it around and bring it back to where it was before. And then stage two is where people start to wake up. And usually the smart people wake up to this first. And they go, wait a minute, this isn't a glitch. This is a paradigm shift. And cultures go through these from time to time. The problem there is, even while they might admit that there's a change, they're still trying to use the old rules. And then the third stage, and this is really the really smart people arrive first, and they're the ones who make money, who can benefit from it. They recognize, A, it's not a glitch. B, it's a permanent paradigm shift. C, there's a new normal. And D, we'd better figure out what the new rules are real fast. And that's where we are. So the media are trying to drag us back here, whereas President Trump and Vice President Vance have signaled, no, the old stuff is old. Yep. Foolish environmental policies are collapsing. Governments are big, bloated, inflationary. We can no longer sustain this. The regulation burden cannot be sustained anymore, yada, yada. But remember, when you're draining a swamp, there are a lot of swamp critters in there that love the stink and the warmth and the wet, and they don't want it drained. Mm-hmm. So in these three paradigm shifts, not everybody makes the change at the same time.
Right.
And that's why we have all the clanging and banging that we do, David.
Okay, so let's go back to a few of the numbers from this report from Media Research Center. It's not just President Trump. It's Elon Musk. It's Pete Hegseth. It's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And let's talk about this, because HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. faced 89% negative press. Right. And Elon Musk was hit with 96% negative coverage. And Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth received a unanimous 100% bad press from the networks. That means no matter what the story was involving the Secretary of Defense or, you know, the military or whatever, it was negative. So the network's spin on Trump's tariffs was 93% negative, while DOGE cutbacks to government were at 97% negative. John, so a couple things right now. First of all, anyone associated with Trump, you got to put them in the basket too. They're awful.
That's
they're
correct.
Negative. They're our enemy if you're a leftist, Democrat, socialist, progressive, Marxist. And if It's now we're talking about individuals, but 100% unanimous negative coverage on Hegseth, maybe because he used to work at Fox News, probably had something to do with it. But this, yeah,
that's a double whammy. That's an apostasy. Yeah.
What is this? Stirs up fear. It is irresponsible. There's no principles of journalism anymore. They're out the door and is irresponsible because they are stirring up fear, saying the tariffs are going to affect everybody. They're going to affect your grocery bills. And whatever they report on negatively, they're trying to stir up fear. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that's exactly what's happening because, who was it? It was Saul Alinsky back in 1972 who said that friction and or fear makes the whole thing work. And in order to make this dialectic work, because they're using a Marxist dialectic to do this social change that they're gearing for, you have to get people all mad at each other and yelling and screaming and shouting and danger. The sky's falling. The sky's falling. And if you look at stories, you know, what I do in the morning, I go to what I call the splash pages, Huffington Post, Drudge Report. Ugh. Maybe if I really want to have a good jolt and get mad in the morning and get myself motivated, I'll go to Salon Magazine, which is the most neo-Marxist thing.
Oh,
I mean, they just write trash. They write absolute trash, masquerading as fact. And Mother Jones won't let me on anymore to make comments because I used to end my comments with Mother Jones. What is it? Not courageous and definitely not journalism, which is their motto, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
And so they wouldn't let me on anymore to comment on their stories because I was always writing rebuttals to the nonsense they were putting out.
Oh, but they don't like facts and truth, John. They don't like facts.
No, they cannot. Remember, it's the narrative. I can tell you why, too, in a second, if you want, why that's important. Look at all of the headlines. If you go to I call it the sludge report sometimes, and all of the words are hyperbolic. You know, Trump tariff plan, dangerous for this segment. You know, dangerous, fear, damaging. Majority say it's horrible. It's all hyperbolic language. That alone is not good journalism. Okay. And mm-hmm. I know in journalism, the motto used to be if it bleeds, it leads. I got that. But they're pumping that in there, and it's to pump fear, 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 fear. Yeah. And for the true believers in the echo chamber, it's working, you know, for the believers in the echo chamber.
Yes, it is. We've got to take a brief pause. We're with John Loeffler. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Friends, John Loeffler is our guest today. And by the way, we have a new YouTube channel. It's not brand new, but we kicked it off in January of this year. Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo on YouTube. We post the episodes there, also on Spotify, Apple, Rumble, Freedom Project Media. So Biden had 60% positive coverage. And just let me go through this and get your response to this, John Loeffler. 4 years ago when the Biden administration, they pushed through a massive spending bill that was blamed for triggering the worst inflation since the 70s. Network coverage carried no warnings like they're doing on the tariffs today or whatever. Their study by Media Research Center found that, yeah, and you have to put journalists in air quotes, journalists gave an 86% positive coverage to Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID spending bill. And how do you explain that when we saw the destruction of that bill and how we couldn't afford it, but they spent it anyway? So how do you explain that? I couldn't believe when I read that. It was 86% positive on that spending bill. Does that mean they're all socialists or what?
Well, you're asking personally, or what do I call, perfectly rational questions, and I'm not going to stand for it. that whole thing. Because again, what is the goal of the reporting? The goal of the reporting is narrative and achieving certain outcomes. That's what's important. And everything will be geared to that. Look, we went through 4 years of President Biden's presidency, and they wouldn't admit that mentally he was not competent. Look at the executive orders, it even seems like they've all been signed by a machine because they're all absolutely identical. And they go, oh, wait a minute. Well, just like under the term of Woodrow Wilson after his stroke, who's really running the White House, you know, at this point? So that's why they ignore that. Remember, say everything that's good, downplay everything that's bad, if somebody on the left does it. They're still in the mode that we should be into social justice, and to do that, we have to tax and spend, tax and spend. And it's defending this giant bloated government, which, if you remember, 30 years ago, the Grace Commission, that was an independent study that studied the whole government, J. Peter Grace paid for it himself. And it came out and said we could slash 50% of all government positions and we wouldn't know the difference. There's so much corruption and nonsense and entrenched people and people hiding out, not to mention spending on social programs like people who have been collecting Social Security for 120 years. I mean, that type of stuff, you know, and all this nonsense. And so it had to come in. But that's why it's there. They're not going to say anything bad. They're not going to admit it was a failure. And that's why we can't get to the bottom of any issue, David.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If we could sit there and really look at everything and go, okay, this works, that doesn't work. Look at what just happened in Spain this week, Spain and Portugal. They had a power outage that shut down the entire two countries on the Iberian Peninsula. What? Okay. Now, how did this happen? All right, we don't know yet. But one of the real problems is the involvement of renewable energy sources, wind and solar. The Germans actually have a word for it when there's no wind and solar, you know. So Europe has been pursuing a very, very foolish net zero policy with no way to back it up. What's the big gorilla in the room with climate change? Let's throw out every other argument we've got. Just get rid of it. This one argument, one only. You have no new energies that can carry the load. Period. Okay, end of story. Let's stop all this. Let's stop the Paris Climate Accord. Let's stop the nonsense until you get viable alternatives. And what are our options? Natural gas, oil, coal, nuclear, hydro. As a backup, because they're not constant, wind and solar. They can add to the grid, but they can't be there all the time. That's it. Now, maybe I've missed some new technologies in there. But until you get a big technology that can actually supply steady, constant voltage all the time, and that's what seems to have happened, is that the grid in Spain and Portugal began to have these oscillations, voltage oscillations. And I don't know if it was voltage or frequency. I haven't been able to read enough stories yet to find out why. The real issues are that our power grids are in trouble. That's what we need to deal with. Our power grids are exposed to an electromagnetic pulse, and they need to be defended from that. It's a one-time capital investment by the long-distance power companies, and it has to be done for our safety and security. So the real issues are over here. The media and the politicians are fighting over here. That's why we're in trouble. We can't get to the real things. And anybody who tries to...
Get
shouted, which is exactly what you described.
And just the hypocrisy of the left, the Democrats, the Hollywood elites flying around the country in their jets, and they're saying, yeah, well, climate change, everything. It's just astounding. But John, I've asked a lot of people this since Doge took over and is doing some amazing work. 97% negative coverage on the Department of Government Efficiency and Elon Musk. Are they, so let's talk about from their viewpoint, the left, are they really opposed to getting rid of waste, fraud, corruption, abuse, our tax dollars going to other countries for things that Americans would not approve of? The left is so against Doge and Trump and Musk. How do you explain that?
Well, look at the number of people in government bureaucracies that are Democratic rather than Republican. I think you'll find the overwhelming deep state is mostly on the left side of the slate, and their jobs depend upon this whole thing. Listen, it's a combination of economics and ideology. And between the two of them, it's there. Maybe are they opposed to getting things under control? Well, if it stops the agenda, yeah. And this is what you need to understand, is that the war over government reform is to try to get the government to be responsible again to the people rather than tied up in its own self. And it's sort of existing as this 20 square mile patch of land surrounded by reality, but it's going and sucking all this money out of the electorate to try to pay for it. We can't do it anymore. We're out. Yeah. You know, as I say to people when they say, well, Trump this and Trump that, I say, well, what did you expect it to look like when we get close to $40 trillion in debt? Did you really think that there wouldn't be chaos and disaster? And they've never thought about this. And I like to point to different people in an audience and say, okay, you over there, you owe $100,000 to the government. You over here, you owe $100,000, or to some of my relatives, to both the man and woman. You owe $100,000, you owe $100,000, and if you don't pay it, that $100,000 goes to your kids, and they will pay it in the form of decreased livelihood, decreased standard of living, decreased anything that they have in their lives. We're seeing that right now. Do millennials think they're ever going to buy a house? I mean, not millennials, but Gen Zs. Nah, they go, we can't do that. What's wrong? What happened?
Yeah.
It's all these.
So, John, we've only got 2 minutes left, and it flew by with you, as I knew it would. Let's talk about immigration. One of the things that I believe President Trump was elected to do was to take care of the southern border and to cut down on illegal immigration. And everything from drugs to human trafficking to all the problems and issues, gangs. So border crossings are down more than 94%. Some of them have it up to 99%, illegal border crossings. Immigration was given 93% negative coverage by the media in America. This is a huge issue, yet he was elected to, in part, to do this. Your closing thoughts, and we've got a minute left, unfortunately, but this is these are huge issues. We can't solve all the problems in one podcast, but your closing thoughts on maybe to encourage believers to be discerning and share the truth with as many people as they can.
Yeah, there are two factors to the media. I do believe in to the immigration issue. I do believe in upholding the laws of the country. That's important. You can't have them come in illegally to the country and then demand their rights when they're here. This doesn't make any sense. The flip side is our system is hopelessly broken. And I've been working very closely with bringing persecuted Christians into the country legally, not illegally. And to just bring one family in, you could pay upwards of $35,000. And you would, so far, we've gone through 600 pages of paperwork. It's just unbelievable what you have to do. And we have extended family members who are just even trying to get legal residency because they're part of our family legally. And it's broken. And something has to happen there. It's a multi-complex issue.
Yeah, very, very much so. John Loeffler, thank you for your time and expertise. Again, brother, we'll talk to you hopefully in a couple months. Let's get you on more regularly. What do you say?
Would be good. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Thank you again, sir. All right, guys. Again, check out the coverage over at Media Research Center, MRC.org. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.